on this morning. Isaiah 41. You need a Bible that you might study with us. Just raise your hand. Raise your hand, and these gentlemen will be glad to give you a Bible that you might study with us. It's yours to keep if you need one. And for all of us, we're in Isaiah chapter 41. Excuse me. Isaiah 41, we'll start in verse 8 this morning. Isaiah 41, starting in verse 8. Where the Lord says, "But you, Israel, are my servant, Jacob, whom I have chosen, the descendants of Abraham, my friend." Excuse me. "You whom I have taken from the ends of the earth and called from its farthest regions and said to you, 'You are my servant. I have chosen you and have not cast you away.' Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." Excuse me. Israel had been a rebellious people. They had fallen into idol worship. They had let a great distance occur between them and God. All of that led to their captivity. But God would not leave them there, of course. God would deliver them from what their sin had gotten them into. He'd lead them back to where they belonged, setting them free, bringing them back home. There was much behind them, but there would also be much ahead of them. So God speaks to them these awesome promises that we're going to focus on this morning. Promises to see them through all they'd be going through. Promises to encourage and strengthen and guide and just to minister to them in their pilgrim's journey. And as it was for them, so it is for us. In our text, you notice the Lord says, "I will." What do you think when you hear God say to you, "I will," and then places after it something that He wants to offer, something He wants to do in or through you? What do you think of when you hear God say, "I will"? How does your heart respond to the "I will" of God? Do you take the "I will" of God and let it become the "well, maybe"? Do you take the "I will" of God and you say, "Well, I hope so," or, "Well, yeah, maybe for others, but not for me. I don't qualify for the "I will" of God"? Maybe your reaction isn't like that at all. Maybe for you, it's just a matter of you've lost sight of God's provision and promises for you. Been doing it on your own. Been struggling for a while. You're tired. Or maybe you just need a gentle reminder of how God designed this life's journey to be traveled. Whatever your need this morning, whatever your spiritual condition, whatever you're facing in life, it is my prayer that the truth of these verses will be driven home to all of our hearts this morning. We are in here. This is for us. Look at verse 10 again. "Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." I've called our time together this morning, "Fear not." Let's pray. Lord, in your love, you know us inside out, Lord, and you know our needs. And so, Lord, we've gathered because we know only in you are those needs met. And Lord, we do thank you for ministering to us through our worship time, Lord. And we thank you for the opportunity just to praise you, for you are worthy to be praised. And Lord, thank you that in your knowledge of us, Lord, you speak. You speak to our needs. This morning, Lord, I know you want to do that, Lord. I know that there's something for each of us here. You've declared that you will do certain things. Would you help us, Lord? Help us to be receivers. Lord, bottom line is you said, don't be afraid. So help us, Lord. Help us not be afraid, but help us to now know and walk in those things that you're about to speak to us. Thank you. In Jesus' name. Amen. The context of our passage is this, in chapter 41 here of Isaiah. The chapter opens with God calling the nations to come near for judgment. He tells them to come near, really, because he says, look, we got to settle an issue. And so he speaks to all the coastlands, the nations around there. You see, all these nations were into idol worship. These little gods of the people's own making. But God calls them to name one thing that their little idols had ever foretold that had come to pass. But of course, they couldn't. So if you look ahead for a moment, look at verse 23. God says, show the things that are to come hereafter, that we may know that you are gods. Notice the little g. Yes, do good or do evil, that we may be dismayed and see it together. Indeed, you are nothing, and your work is nothing. He who chooses you is an abomination. So the chapter context, he's speaking about all these nations. They had these idols. So he turns to these nations. He goes, name one thing your idol have ever done. Name one thing your idol have ever foretold, ever prophesied to come to pass. He says, do something. Kind of wow us. He says, but you can't, of course, because your idols are nothing. And he goes, and anybody who looks to the idols, it's an abomination when you do that. So that's the context. But in the midst of addressing that issue, the Lord turns and speaks to his people. And what awesome words they are. And they're our focus for this morning. Now, I'm going to read through a fairly lengthy section here because we must needs do it. Because it's awesome. I just want us to soak in God's promises. Begin at verse 8 again with me and just follow along as I read. He turns to his people and he says, but you, Israel, are my servant. Remember, all these other nations, they were into the idols and all. And even some of the people in Israel into idols. But he says to them, but you're my servant. Jacob, whom I've chosen, the descendants of Abraham, my friend. You, whom I have taken from the ends of the earth and called from its farthest regions. And said to you, you are my servant. I have chosen you and have not cast you away. Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Behold, all those who are incensed against you shall be ashamed and disgraced. They shall be as nothing, and those who strive with you shall perish. You shall seek them and not find them. Those who contended with you, those who war against you, shall be as nothing, as a non-existent thing. For I, the Lord your God, will hold your right hand, saying to you, fear not, I will help you. Fear not, you worm Jacob, you men of Israel. I will help you, says the Lord, and your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. Behold, I will make you into a new threshing sledge with sharp teeth. You shall thresh the mountains and beat them small, and make the hills like chaff. You shall winnow them, the wind shall carry them away, and the whirlwind shall scatter them. You shall rejoice in the Lord and glory in the Holy One of Israel. The poor and needy seek water, but there is none. Their tongues fail for thirst. Now watch this. I, the Lord, will hear them. I, the God of Israel, will not forsake them. I will open rivers in desolate heights and fountains in the midst of the valleys. I will make the wilderness a pool of water and the dry land springs of water. I will plant in the wilderness the cedar and the acacia tree, the myrtle and the oil tree. I will set in the desert the cypress tree and the pine and the box tree together, that they may see and know and consider and understand together that the hand of the Lord has done this and the Holy One of Israel has created it. What awesome promises these are. We're going to really soak in these this morning. First of all, we need to be clear who God is speaking this to. Who does God give such promises to? Look at verse 8 again. But you, Israel, are my servant, Jacob, whom I've chosen, descendants of Abraham, my friend. Who are these promises? Who are such promises of strength and guidance and holding our right hand? Who are those promises made to? Perfect people? People who are always obedient? Surely someone who gets promises like this must be someone who's earned it. No, on the contrary. They are people who had rebelled and struggled. And yet, there are people that he calls his. That was the only really qualification. People that were his. He doesn't promise all this because they've earned it. It's because they are his children that he promises it. True for God's people then, true for God's people today. Make sure you see. Make sure that you indeed do qualify this morning. Well, how do I qualify for such awesome promises? Again, not by earning it, not by being good enough, not by your church attendance, none of that. It's by being a child of his. Well, aren't we all a child of his? No. You have to be born again, Jesus said. You have to receive what Christ did on the cross for you. Have you surrendered your will to his? Have you received Jesus as Lord and Savior? If you settled that issue, then you are his child. He declares so. At that point, all of this applies to you also. Listen now to what he says to you as his child. Allow me to put it up here on the screen. Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. I want to look at this verse a little closer. He begins by saying, fear not. Sounds good. Because we can tend to be so afraid. Whether we admit it or not, some of us want to put on our macho mask and everything. But the reality is, things come along that reveal to us and show us that there's many reasons we might potentially become afraid. Afraid we can make ends meet. Afraid we have the strength to get through. Afraid that we don't have the wisdom. Afraid we don't have what it takes to handle the task. Just so many things can come along that might tempt us to be afraid. And he knows that. The Lord knows our makeup. And so he begins here by saying, look, you're my children. Haven't I drawn you out? Now he says, fear not. Well, how? How can I not be afraid? On what basis am I to not be afraid? What does he say? For I am with you. God's remedy, God's cure for fear is what? He doesn't tell me all the why of what I'm going through. He didn't show me the whole plan out, you know, everything in my life and all. No, his cure, his remedy for me and the things I might fear, my circumstances I go through, his remedy is what? His presence. Don't be afraid because I am with you. Too many of us as believers don't live with a consciousness of the presence of God. You see, that's the danger. We can get into the religion part of it. We can simply be someone who holds to a group of beliefs. We have a certain mindset or an attitude, but we lose sight of, we don't dwell with the consciousness of the reality of the indwelling presence of God in every believer. He says it, that when you invite him in, he takes you up on your word. He accepts the invitation and he moves inside. And no matter what you do, no matter where you go, no matter what you face, he says, don't be afraid, for I am with you. God's remedy, God's cure for fear is his presence. Hebrews 13 says much the same thing. Let's remind ourselves of it. Let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have. For he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. See, there it is. I will not fear. What can man do to me? What's the basis of that? For he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Are you used to that? Does it draw a yawn? Maybe we never take that for granted. Think about it. Think about it. God is inside you, believer. And he will never leave you or forsake you. And that should produce in us a peace, a confidence, not in ourselves, but a place of rest. Something to overcome those fears with. And say, but I know this, God is with me. Therefore, I'm not to be focused on what man can do, but on what God can do. Notice that. But let's go with this verse a little further in our verse 10 here. He said, fear not, for I am with you. And then he says, be not dismayed.
In the Hebrew, it's a word that to describe when people look around each other like, what's going on? I'm confused. What's happening? It means looking, you look at each other like, what's this about? Be not dismayed, he says. How am I to not be dismayed? How am I to not have doubts or wonder what's happening to me? What did he speak to that? What's his cure for fear and dismay? For I am your God. Fear not, I'm with you. Don't be dismayed, for I am your God. He offers a personal relationship with him. That's the cure for our dismay, our confusion, our doubts, our fears. I am your God. Think of it. He gives us his presence. I'm with you now, so don't be afraid. And I know there's doubts. I know you get dismayed, so know this. I am your God. See, that's personal, isn't it? He's speaking about a personal relationship. I'm going to give you a personal relationship. The God, the true and living God. Not these idols that man comes up with, but the true and living God says, now, don't be dismayed, because the I am, the great I am your God. I'm your God, and I'm with you. Think of it. He gives us his presence. He gives us his very person. And with that comes his power. With that comes his wisdom. With that comes all those attributes, his character, his nature, if you will. They're all there with us. And he wants us to raise our eyes up and understand that that's more than enough. More than enough. If we will remember who it is that's speaking this. But sometimes we do go, I don't know. What does our fear, what does our worry, what does our dismay really say? How big is our God? How big do we think God is? Remember who we belong to, and remember that he's with us constantly. Well, in this relationship that he is our God, the true and living God is our God, and he offers us a personal relationship. That's the only way to really access this. And that we have his very presence in us and with us and around us and upon us. Since we have that, he then now goes on to make several promises. This chapter is known as the great I will chapter of the Bible. Did you count them as we went through? In just the section that I read, there are 13 I wills. There's actually 14. There's another one later on towards the very end. But in the section I read, 13. I wills of God. Think about it. He knows our need. He's not saying this to hear himself talk. But rather, he wants you to understand that what is yours when you have this personal indwelling presence of the Lord in your life. I want to take a brief look at these I wills. And I pray that we'll ask God to make them real to each of us personally this morning. So I've titled it the I wills of God. Now I've gone through and I've just summarized each of the I wills. And I've just put kind of the beginning part. Some of them I had to kind of paraphrase because the sentence itself is too long for the PowerPoint. But the idea here is the same. As you go through this, he begins to say now, he goes, now don't be afraid, don't be dismayed. I'm with you, I'm your God. And because of that, now here's what I will do for you. And we start moving through him. He says, I will strengthen you. When you're weak, when you don't have what it takes, he says, I will strengthen you. He says, I will help you. He doesn't say, read some other self-help book, pull up your bootstraps, give it your best shot. He says, no, I know you need help. I will help you. He says, I will uphold you. And you notice I've listed each verse for your own reference. You can check it out later, or if you're making a list, you can jot that down. I will uphold you, he says. He says, I will hold your right hand. He then tells Israel and us, he tells them, I'll make you a new instrument. You remember he said, he goes, you guys are worms right now, but I'm going to make you a mighty threshing machine. And that's the idea. And yourself, you don't have what it takes, but I'm going to give you victory. I'm going to give you what it takes to be victorious. I'll make you a new instrument. I will hear them, he says. I will not forsake them, he says. I will open rivers in desolate heights. I'll leave this up for a while, so if you're writing it, don't feel you have to rush or whatever. I will open rivers in desolate heights. I will make water in dry places, and I will plant trees in the wilderness. And some of those are paraphrases, summaries. As you know, he talks about the box tree and the acacia tree and all. So I've summarized there, for example, to say that I'll plant trees in the wilderness. But that's the idea there. And I've condensed some of those because they're not all 13 there, because he says, I will help you something like three different times. So I made it into one statement showing you verses 10, 13, and 14 up there. But you put it together again, and basically here's God saying, now don't be afraid, because I'm with you. And don't be dismayed, because I'm your God. And I know what you go through, and I know what's happening, so here's what I want you to know. I will. On and on, he says, what he will do for the believer, for his child. Now remember I said when you hear the I will of God, you think like, well, I wonder if you really can, or well, maybe for others, and we start wondering and qualifying and everything else. When God says, I will do something, he has taken into consideration every possible contingency. God knows every possible obstacle. The Lord doesn't say, I will, and also look at your life and go, oops, I didn't realize that. I didn't realize you had that going on. Forget it. I didn't realize you'd run up against that obstacle. Well, better scratch that one off. No, there's nothing that can happen or come along or be in the way that he doesn't already know about. Also, he knows very well who he's speaking to. He doesn't say, I will, except for you. Because I know what you're like, and forget it. He doesn't do that. He's thought of every contingency, every obstacle. There is no hindrance to thwart his plans. God says, I will, with all the power and all the wisdom that he and he alone possesses. In short, whatever you might be using to disqualify the I wills of God, you better bail on him. Let him go, because they're not going to stop him. In short, when God says I will, you can take it to the bank. It's a sure thing. He's able and willing. Now, in light of all this, no wonder he tells us what? How do you begin? Fear not. Oh, I know that you might tend to be afraid. I know there's things that can come along that get us shaking. And so what's the very first thing? Fear not. Well, how am I going to do that? Well, let me tell you how. I'm with you. I'm your God. And this is what I will do. I will. Interesting how we can hear the problem so loud and clear. We can hear the challenges to God so much around us. Our doubts can yell and our fears scream. And we listen. And meanwhile, God just, in that still small voice, is speaking to our heart. Don't be afraid. I will help you. I will not forsake you. I will make a way. And he speaks to us. Which one do we listen to? Which one will we give the driver's seat to? That will determine so much in this whole thing. What are you facing today? What are you facing in your life? What fears? What relationship issues? What illnesses? What might you be going through? He knows. And I'm asking you this morning to now bring your circumstance to the I wills of God. Take your circumstance now and hold it up there. And I'm not going to ask you to share with us. I'm not trying to embarrass anybody. But just think about a couple possibilities. For example, maybe you do feel like you lack strength, that you just don't have what it takes, especially maybe the emotional or the spiritual strength. He says, fear not. I will strengthen you. Now I got a choice to make at that moment, don't I? I can believe it, or I can just stay in my doubt, in my fear. But please know, he's speaking to you that he will strengthen you. What's something else we might go through? Do you feel alone? Maybe you feel lonely. You feel alone. He wants you to know He will never leave you or forsake you. I am with you. I will never leave you or forsake you. He'd like you to begin now to live with a fresh sense of His presence, an awareness, a consciousness of His presence in your life. Are you spiritually dry? Lord, I'm just dry like a bone. I can't seem to get going here. I'm spiritually dry. He'd say what? Fear not. I will make water in dry places. He pours out that living water if we'll just receive. Think of what we can go through. Maybe you face a responsibility that's just too heavy for you. Maybe you operate a business. I don't know. It could be so many different things. Just some assignment that's come upon you, some task. It's a responsibility that you just don't think you can handle it. What's he say? Fear not. I will uphold you. My arms are underneath you. I'm going to see you. I've called you to this. I'll see you through it. I'm going to give you wisdom. I will be with you. I won't forsake you. I will uphold you. We go through some rough things, and we can get lost, and we can struggle, and it's scary. And so what's he say? I'll hold your hand. I will hold your right hand all the way through it. When you take your little child across the street, and you say, here, take my hand, or let me hold your hand, how do you hold their hand? When you hold that child's hand across the street, do you say, you know what, you better hold on because I'm not. And if you're going to make it across the street, it's up to you. No, you don't dare do that. You realize they can lose their grip. And so you grab onto the hand tight, don't you? You let the grip depend on your strength, not the little child's. That way, if they should lose grip or try to jerk away, you got them. And notice what the Lord says. He says, I will hold your hand. He doesn't say, here, just hold mine. He says, I'll hold yours. What am I saying? I'm saying God never loses His grip. You tell me. Anybody be so bold? You tell me. Is there anybody here that can think of not what you're going through, but what's a life situation that we might face, or something that might, a circumstance, a trial, something that might cause fear, that we might find an answer up here? Anybody see one already? Has anybody seen something here? They go, hey, that would fit. Or it doesn't have to be about your life, just in general. Anybody see anything? Okay, Lynette. Making an announcement in front of people. Lynette, you did good this morning. I know that feeling. Every time. I one time asked a very seasoned pastor, I said, do you ever go to share and not be afraid? And he said to me, well, you know what? The day you're not afraid, that's the day to be afraid. That's the day to be worried about. That's the day to really be worried about. You never want to go out in your own self. But what's the answer to that fear? When you have to go speak up there, what might fit, Lynette? What might he? That he holds your... Well, you're standing up here. Matter of fact, maybe that's why you're kind of like right there. He was right there. That's the idea. But see, Lynette took that and said, okay, but the Lord has said, I've called you to this and I'll be with you. I'll hold your hand through it all. And yes, we get a front. If you've never done this, you'll know what that deer in the headlight looked feeling is like real quick. But God sees you through, and afterwards you go, all right, you were faithful. There was another hand. Somebody else had one. Go ahead. A loss of job. Okay. So what I will might you lean on there? What might fit? I'm thinking of something like, well, I will plant trees in the wilderness. In its context, it means He's going to provide. He means for them, you're going to go through a wilderness time, but I will provide for you. There'll be fruitful trees around you. Water in dry places. Open rivers and desolate heights. They could all speak of that. So that's kind of the idea? Yeah. See, there's all these things we come up with that the Lord's trying to say, I got an answer. Don't be afraid. A, I'm with you. I won't leave or forsake you. I'm your God. And in me, I have these answers. Now, we could go around the room and do more right now, but hopefully this gets the idea across. I'm saying there's an answer God has an answer for every trial. Not the specific sometimes. He may not say to the one who's lost a job, next Thursday, 3 o'clock, I got to call you, get a new job. He won't do that so often. He may, but so often he doesn't. But he does say, but I'll be with you through it all. I got even a better... You'll look back today and say, well, that's why you did that. But right now, I want you to know this. I'm going to hold your hand. I'm going to provide for you. I'm going to see you through. God never says, oops, I lost that one. I dropped that one. Missed that one. For each circumstance, there's a promise. Again, not that he's going to necessarily take me out of the illness. Not that he's going to change the circumstance right now. But he will in the circumstance strengthen me and encourage me and hold me up. And through it, I'll know him better. He'll draw me closer because of it. And he'll bring his answers and his resolution and his timing. But I will know him because I'll know the I will of God in it. For each circumstance, for each trial, he gives us his presence. He gives us his person. He speaks to our hearts and he says, fear not, I am with you. I am your God. Hopefully you can tell from all this we're talking about a personal relationship. Religion doesn't make promises like that. Religion can't deliver. And our rituals and routines and formalities and habits and all, they don't do it. But in that personal fellowship with him, he offers himself. And he says, now don't be afraid, I will. But what's my part of all this? How can I know these things in my heart? How can I experience the reality of these promises? It's in this way. The I wills of God must find some I will in us. And that's the connection. That's the connecting point. The I wills of God must find in me some I wills. As you hear the I will of God, may he hear us respond with some I wills of our own. If you will, allow me to title this The I wills of man. A moment ago I list the I wills of God. Now I'm suggesting for those to be something we really experience, they need to find some I will in us. Oh, here it comes. I will give all my money to the church. I will do all these works. He's going to lay this thing on us. No. It's all, what's he asking for? I'll just put them all here together. I'll believe. I will have faith. I will trust. I will obey. If the I wills of God will find those I wills in us, Lord, I'm going to take you at your word. I'm going to believe you. I will believe you. I will trust you. I'll have faith in you. And I'll put my foot where you tell me to. I'll walk in the path you tell me to and stay away from the path you tell me not to. Those are the connecting points. The I will of God must connect with the I will of ours. But we can do this. This is not a matter of income or intelligence or anything like that. It's a matter of the heart. I will believe you. I will trust you. If we will take God at his word, if we will live in the truth of his promises, then we'll find him faithful to his word. Well, did you notice the very last verse of what we looked at this morning? Look at it again in verse 20. There's an effect all this is supposed to have on everybody who sees it. When the I wills of God connect with the I wills of man, and these promises are being experienced in his presence, his strength, his help, his refreshment, his provision. When all this is going on, look at verse 20 says, that they may see and know and consider and understand together that the hand of the Lord has done this and the Holy One of Israel has created it. Interesting. As God works in his people and for his people, this is telling us that others will look at it and they will see that it is what God has done. That God has done this. They may see and know and consider this. It wasn't, gee, that was lucky it worked out, or good planning on my part. No, it'll be God did that. And that's the idea here. That only he could have and only he did do what he's done. Would you turn to 1 Corinthians for just a moment with me? 1 Corinthians chapter 1. I believe this is worth looking at and adding to our time. 1 Corinthians, New Testament. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, starting at verse 26. Again, remember what I said about who qualifies for all of this. Who God works in and why he works in and how he works in is what I want us to think about. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 26. For you see your calling, brethren, that not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty. And the base things of the world, the things which are despised. Anybody seen himself yet? That's okay. God has chosen, and the things which are not, to bring to nothing the things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. But of him you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that, as it is written, he who glories, let him glory in the Lord. In all that God does in us and for us, the result should be for us, what does it say, that we would glory in the Lord. Now go back to your Isaiah 41 text. Verse 16, the last half of it, where he says, you shall rejoice in the Lord and glory in the Holy One of Israel. This gives us two more I wills. May the I wills of God find in us, may we add to our I wills. Remember we had the list of four before? I want to add two more. I will rejoice in the Lord. I will glory in the Holy One of Israel. This morning, how will you respond? How will I respond to the I wills of God? My prayer is that it be with these I wills of our own. Let's stand. Worship team is going to close in a song together. Would you like prayer this morning? There'll be prayer partners available over by the prayer room. Please avail yourself of prayer. Maybe it's time to get into that place of receiving, believing, trusting in the I wills. The Lord said, fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. The Lord knows what we go through. He knows how we are made. And so he speaks to our hearts. Fear not. Now, go live in the I will of God. Let's pray. Lord, what love you have for us. Thank you, thank you. Thank you that we can walk our days with that awareness of, that sense of your presence, just a consciousness of your presence. Thank you, Lord, for speaking to us to not be afraid, that you're our God and you're with us. Thank you, Lord, that you promised to meet those needs, the real needs of our hearts, our lives. Thank you that we can bring each circumstance to you. Thank you for your answers. And Lord, would you help us? We do want to respond to your promises, your I wills, with trust, with faith, with belief. So Lord, help us. May you find in us those who do just that. And help us, Lord. For we will rejoice and we will glory in you alone. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.